Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Hello, this is Judy Sedgman, and welcome to another episode of Psychology Has It Backwards. This is our opportunity to explain to you why it is that a lot of things that we've thought were true for a long time might be not true. And it's kind of lined up with the topic of last week and this week. So last week we talked about separate realities, and that's kind of the basis for what we're going to talk about this week, which is changing our minds. But the one thing I would never change my mind about is how happy I am to be doing this podcast with my dear friend.
Christine Heath, aloha from Hawaii.
Yeah. So this is some things are just not up for discussion.
That's right.
This is one of them. Anyway, you know, thinking about changing my mind, I realized that one of the reasons why I would get so attached to my thoughts for so many years and so sure I was onto something was that I honestly did not have any idea that my thinking had anything to do with it. I thought, I'm looking through my eyeballs at the world, and what I see is right. And if you can't see it, you got to take another look.
That's right.
You should see what I see.
How can you be?
And it was really, it's weird to me now when I think back on it, because I spent a lot of time in high school in debate club. And, you know, one of the premises of debate is that there are two sides, at least, to every issue. But, you know, I think when you're debating, you are sure that your side is right. So there really aren't two sides. There's your side and the wrong side, you know. No. And in looking back at it, I think, gee, I would have been a much better debater if I'd been able to listen to the other person's point of view better. But I didn't know that. So as soon as my thinking started to look arbitrary, and the biggest thing was to realize that it is very linked to your state of mind, so that, you know, if I woke up in a grumpy mood and I looked out the window and it was cloudy, but it still looked like could turn into a nice day, I would assume it was going to rain. You know? And if I woke up and saw the same day kind of mixture of gray and sun, and I saw the sun was there, I would think, oh, it'll clear. I mean, just ordinary stuff like that, just ordinary thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the same thing, but you're seeing it totally differently. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of swept over me when I started to see this for the first time, that there is no objective reality. There are things that we all agree are there. You know, like we agree we're in our offices with our chairs and our computers. But I could be looking at Chris's chair and think, wow, that's a great chair. I love that chair. And she could be sitting there thinking, I should have gotten a different chair. It's really not that comfortable. And, you know, we're both looking at the same chair, but we're seeing it with a different perspective. And the reason why it makes it easier to change your mind is because you're going to change your mind anyway as your mood changes, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's so subtle, we don't even notice it. Like, I can remember when I was first married, my husband had very specific ideas about life, which I didn't know about until we were living together, you know, because we weren't living together before we got married. We got married very young, right out of college, and basically we never lived together until we came home from our honeymoon. And, you know, I'm like, just simple things like where you put things in the kitchen. He was much taller than I. And so he was putting things away with me, and he's putting stuff we use every day on the top shelf in the kitchen. And I'm going, like, I'd have to have a step stool to reach these things. But he doesn't know that, because for him, it's just like, oh, I'm putting it up there because it fits up there. And so I said, you know, can we talk about not putting the stuff we use every day up there? And he says, yeah, but it's a taller shelf. It kind of fits better up there. And I'm going, yeah, I know, but I can't reach it. He's going, oh, I can't believe that. I'm saying, well, yeah, watch this. You know, and I try and I couldn't quite reach it. And he's like, that's a separate reality issue. That's just like not realizing that if you're 6'4", things look different to you than if you're 5'9". And I was tall, but he was way tall. Mm-hmm. And everything we do in life, we see from our own eyeballs and our own perspective, according to the state of mind we're in. Now, fortunately, when you're first married, you tend to get along and go along, you know. But there are times later in life that people, you know, break up over stuff like that. You know? Like, he's so thoughtless, he puts all the stuff on it, you know. And I realized a lot of what appears to be thoughtlessness in other people is just different thought, just different thinking, mm-hmm. seeing the same reality differently. So it became, you know, I would say now changing my mind is not so much a change as it is an expansion of possibility. So it's not like I thought this and now I think that so much as it's like I thought this, but that's not the only way to see it. Mm-hmm. I may still think that, but it now makes sense to me that somebody else would see it this other way. Mm-hmm. And if I have to change my mind in a you know, friendship or a business setting or a situation, it's easier if you can just say, you know, I can see why the other person thinks that, and you know, it's okay with me. I don't have to think that, but I can see why they think it and I can get along with them and I can still do other things and do things with them. Whereas there was a time, you know, when if I saw something entirely different from the way somebody else saw it, I'd go, well, I can't be friends with that person. Mm-hmm. And that even, I mean, people do that over the silliest things when you watch it. Like I like sports. And so I often end up with a group of people for big games, like, you know, Super Bowl games and things like that. And people get so angry. And I will admit that sometimes alcohol is involved, but people get so angry because they're so sure that the other team is, you know, cheated or this or that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're making that all up. Why can't we just enjoy the game? You know, so what? Mm-hmm. But that's what gives us ease in life is the ability. And, you know, yes, you can change your mind, but also you can just let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, the trick is really kind of listening to yourself. Mm-hmm. See how your thoughts are creating your experience of the life you're looking at. Because that's really what we can do is to recognize that changing our mind means recognizing that there's other ways of looking at life. And the way that I'm currently looking at it may not be very healthy for me. You know, like mental things that are mentally healthy for us create a really beautiful feeling, create a really beautiful experience. And you are filled with love for a person, you know, like that'll happen sometimes with people. They'll come in and they'll tell me about what a jerk their husband is or their children, especially, like he's being oppositional and he's being disrespectful of me and da 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 da. And then when, as I'm listening, something will come to me like, well, maybe, but maybe he's just thinking about what he needs and what he wants in that moment. And he's insecure. Especially, you know, especially I think that's true with people that are kind of angry people. People don't look at them as being insecure.
Right. They
look at being like they're, you know, bullies or they're jerks or whatever word you want to use, which may be also true, but it all comes from that state of insecurity. And when we're in a state of insecurity, life looks like it's coming at us, like it, things are being done to us, that the world is out to get us, you know, that life is hard, that life is, you know, a struggle and then you die. You know, that's kind of like just ways that we think about life. So changing your mind kind of means that you recognize that your thinking is creating your unhappiness or your stress or your anxiety or whatever you're struggling with, and that that's what you want to shift first, and then you will see a different reality, so you will act in that reality from a different space. But if you don't change yourself first, things don't change. So people are generally trying to change their reality.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. They keep working at it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and I was thinking this is an interesting thing because I have a friend who's a, I wouldn't call this person a close friend, but it's a person I've known for a long time who's a big time people pleaser. And it's to the point of annoying, you know, it's like she's always, trying to get on the good side of everybody, you know, and make herself useful and to the point of intrusive. And I used to think, I just can't stand this, you know, it's just too much. And now I have a lot of compassion for it because I suddenly realized, you know, that is not people pleasing is what people do when they just honestly believe that nobody likes them. Mm-hmm. And they have no self-esteem and no confidence whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so if they can't get a compliment or they can't get somebody to say, oh, yes, thank you for doing that. That was wonderful. Or you went so far out of your way. If they don't get that, if they don't get that feedback, they get very depressed and down on themselves, you know, because they're thinking, I'm just not doing enough. Nobody likes me. Mm-hmm. And this person is an acquaintance in my life, not a client. And so I can't talk to her about it, but I just realized my attitude towards her really changed when I started to see this. Because I realize how innocent it is that if that's your perspective, then the reality that you create for yourself is a world in which you've got to keep working at making people like you, mm-hmm. or they won't. Mm-hmm. And in the effort to do that, you piss people off and they don't, you know, and then it's worse. So you try harder and it's an endless loop of disappointment. Mm-hmm. And yet I realize that if that person ever had a moment of, you know, kind of a insight or awakening and thought, oh gosh, you know, I don't think people even think about me that much. That's the first thing you realize is that people aren't sitting around all day thinking about you and why they should like you or not like you. Right. You know, most people are mostly thinking about their own life.
And they're thinking about whether you like them.
Yeah. But we have, you know, the more insecure we are, the more we feel as everybody's looking at us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you tell your story about the restaurants, you know, like you used to worry about your weight and you, although I don't know why, but anyway, you would walk through a restaurant and think everybody was looking at you thinking she shouldn't be eating out. Well, I'm certain that probably never crossed anybody's mind but yours.
No, I'm sure it did. That was the insight I got. I was like, oh my God, I have such a huge ego. I thought everybody was looking at me.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's such an innocent thing that we do. We just get caught up in our version of reality to the point mm-hmm. where we don't realize that we're making it up. Mm-hmm. Or it seems like, yeah, mm-hmm. we're making it up, but we're right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's even worse. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know I'm making up my own reality, but I'm certain I'm completely correct about this. Mm-hmm. And then you act accordingly. And if you're getting a bad reaction or a bad feeling, that's the bad feeling is what's your clue, not the reality.
Yeah.
We're always trying to fix the details or fix the, you know, the way we think things are. And that's not the answer. The answer is to quiet down and take another look mm-hmm. and be able to see at least in neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's the best we can do is neutral, it's much better than judgmental and worried and upset and scared.
Yeah, the less attached we are to our own personal thinking, yeah. the better life we have.
Absolutely.
Because when we're holding on to our thoughts, like this is God speaking, you are stupid. It's like when that comes in, you're like, oh my God, that's true. I am stupid. I forgot about that. You know, and it creates suffering in us. And it also creates really some difficulty when we're interacting with other people, because you're reacting to them as if they've, you know, like they think you're stupid and they're wondering why you're acting weird, because they don't think you're stupid, right? Yeah, it's just the power of our own thinking is just amazing, because when you wake up to it, you're a lot less attached to your thinking because you realize that you made a bunch of mistakes and that's why you were suffering.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you think. It's like, yeah, okay, I think this, but okay, well, is there another way I can think it? You know, it's like, so you go to listening then, right? Like that's really how you change your mind. You start to see that, okay, this thinking that I've had doesn't work for this other person, right? Like she can't reach this stuff. And so I need to do something differently. I need to change. And so that's kind of how we interact with each other. We change and recognize that our reality is fluid, that it keeps changing and it can change. We're not stuck with anything. We don't have to have dinner at 6 o'clock every night. You know, we don't have to, follow the rules all the time. Like there's all kinds of things that people do in their reality to try to feel more secure.
Yeah.
Because they're in a state of insecurity. And so it makes sense that if I do something to the outside world, then I'll feel better on the inside.
Yeah.
But we got to go inside and feel good then. And it's like magic then, like, oh, I see what to do. Oh, I could do it this way. Oh, I can change this. Like I remember when I was first dating my husband, he said something to, I forget what it was now, but he said something to me and I was like, oh, I can change that. He goes, oh, no, I don't want you to change for me. I said, no, it's no big deal. I just didn't see that before, so I can change it. And so I did. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of the way that we kind of like his bother was also coming from his thinking. Right. But it's not my business to try to fix him, but I can do what I can do with myself.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes it's easier and nicer to do it that way than to try to get the other person to change their mind.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's amazing how many things that we can easily make an adjustment. It's no problem at all if we're not attached to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I was just earlier today was at a party and it was a lot of people there I didn't know, but they were all academics and they were interesting people. And I was talking to this one woman who had spent a lot of time working in a program at the University of Pittsburgh, in which she was responsible for students who were traveling abroad for a semester. So she getting them ready to go and, you know, preparing their paperwork and helping them to understand what they were getting into. And she said, like when our American students would go to Europe, they would stay with families and they would be in agreement with the family. And part of it was that they would get 3 meals a day, but they never discussed, you know, when or which meals, which were the big ones and which were the little ones. And so she said the first thing that would happen is an American child would go and live with a European family. And in the morning, everybody would like grab a croissant or something and just walk out the door. There was no breakfast as such. Mm-hmm. And then the kids would like, they would want cereal or they would want their usual thing. And it wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. Well, then they would go home and the hours were different. And the long meal of the day was lunch. Mm-hmm. So they'd get this gigantic, wonderful lunch, which was more like dinner. And then at dinner time, it would just be a little small thing. You know, it'd be what somebody else might call an appetizer or something mm-hmm. small and maybe a sweet. And she said, you know, for some kids, this was such a huge issue. It was like, you know, I love being abroad over here, but I can't stand the meal system. I mean, can't you tell the family that I'm an American and I need it my way? No.
Yeah.
You're having the experience of being in a different culture. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I said to her, you know, the truth is when we're with anybody, we're in a different culture. Everybody's culture is the way they think about life and how it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it you know, you may think that we're all Americans always have, you know, cereal and toast, but they don't. And I think that we have a tendency to get so ingrained in our habitual thinking that we don't even think of it as thinking. That's the stuff that gets to us, the stuff that we would call, yeah, it's my thinking, but it's the way it should be. It's reality.
Right.
And those are the thoughts that it's really hard to let go of.
Yeah, that's really true. And because people will say to me, I'll say, well, that's just your thinking. Well, yeah, it's my thinking and it's accurate.
You know?
And you know, like this one woman I worked with was a battered woman, and she was living in a shelter. And I was talking to her about how thought worked. And I said, you know, it's like right now you're spending a lot of time thinking about all the negative things about your husband. And now this is in the context of a big conversation. So I don't want anybody to get excited that somehow I was poo-pooing what he did. But we were talking about something just what was going on with her. She was living in the shelter now, but she's still thinking about him all the time. And I told her, I said, you know, that's just you thinking right now. And she said, Chris, my husband is a jerk. That's not a thought. And I said to her, I said, well, he may be giving you a lot of data to think with, but you're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that it doesn't mean that things aren't true, but you have to see how it impacts you to be thinking like that. And if it really matters, like in this case, it mattered because her life was in danger. But, you know, the ability for her to get him off her mind then allowed her to listen to her own wisdom about what she needed to do to be safe.
Right.
But as long as her mind was focused on him and what a jerk he was, which he was keeping her from taking care of her own business and from changing her mind about what she needed to do in her life.
And what she could do, what's possible.
So there's lots of different little tricks of the mind that, as you understand how thought works, makes life a lot easier. But when you don't see that, then people tend to ascribe motive to why people are doing what they're doing that they perceive as being bad or hurtful or putting me down. Or, you know, like, it's funny, people will say, like, well, you think I'm stupid, that's why you're doing that. And I'm like, and the other person will say, like, no, I don't think you're stupid at all. I just think this is a better way. You know, like, it never occurs to the person that it's not personal.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what causes people to get upset. And in Hawaii, there's a lot of different customs that people do when they move from different places. So we have, right now, we have, in the last 10 years, maybe a big influx of Micronesians. And when they first came here, they would kind of go out in the ocean and fish and kind of take all the fish from a certain area, you know, and just do things in the way that we don't do it here in Hawaii like that, you know? And it cracked me up because, of course, people would be like, I can't believe these people are doing this. So somebody had to sit down with them and say, okay, when you fish, this is how we do it here. So that then they could understand. But they, before that time, they didn't know. So they were just operating from their thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And, you know, it's funny because it's often, that's all it is for, you know, we often get very upset with people or get angry because they're doing things a certain way. And we never stop to think that maybe it's never occurred to them that there's another way. That in their culture or in their home or whatever, that's how it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because I had when I was growing up, one of my father's closest friend's daughter, who was a year older than me, was deaf. And, you know, so we did things together because the couple would come over and they'd bring their daughter. And at first I didn't know how to play with her. And I would get upset, you know, that my dad was bringing her. We were both little kids. And I would say, I don't know, I can't talk to her. You know, she doesn't understand me. And she was a little girl. She was just learning sign language, which I didn't know. And she hadn't learned to read lips yet. Mm. And, And I remember my dad said, well, you know, you're going to have to learn, honey, to deal with a lot of different people in life, and they are not going to see the world the way you see them. Wow. And in her case, she can't hear the world the way you hear it. She doesn't even know what that is. So you have to think of other things besides hearing that might work. And I remembered going back to my room because these people were coming over and thinking, okay, how am I going to play with her? And it suddenly occurred to me, we can color. I mean, I was a child, you know, we had coloring books and crayons and paper. Yeah. And I thought, we could color together. She can see, you know, and neither one of us were very good readers. We were kids, you know. So we did. I got my coloring books out and I got my crayons out. And I was so proud. I went and told my daddy, you know, oh, I thought of something we can do. We can color. And my dad was so proud of me because I had this good idea. But I thought to myself, you know, if he would have said, why didn't you try coloring with her? I probably wouldn't have seen it. You know, it's like sometimes it's just, you have to realize people see what they see when they see it. Mm-hmm. And when they see it, it makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. And they can't see it just because it's your thought. Mm-hmm. But if you can talk to them in such a way that they feel connected to you and they feel like you're on their team, which is kind of what my dad did. I'm sure you can think of another way. Mm-hmm. And he was very sweet about it. He wasn't saying like, you should be a better child. You should know better than to complain about my friend's kids. And he didn't do that. He just said, I'm sure you can come up with something. And so I thought, okay. And I came up with something. And that's, you know, that's held true. I would think about my whole life as a manager, you know, as a person that ran a business, as a person that consulted to a lot of very smart people. It's much easier to see how thinking can change if you know how to change yourself. Yeah. And if you don't feel it's your job to change other people, but just to open the possibility. Yeah. There's another way to see it.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful story about your dad, Judy, because I was just taking it back to traditional counseling.
Yeah.
You know, because when people listen to somebody, they're trained as therapists to listen, right? So you're listening to what the person is saying. And it's, in a sense, it's like by listening to it and then trying to manage it or deal with it or helping to deal with life as they see it, it validates that state of mind and what they're thinking about is true and real, that there's not another way to see it. So we have to deal with life as we see it, right? So that makes a big difference when you're helping somebody rather than trying to solve the problems they perceive mm-hmm. in that moment, that you help them to change their mind and then they see a different reality. They don't even see the same problem. Or if they do, they come up with a beautiful example. And your dad had such faith in your health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. My dad was like that, though. He was very on top of things, but he was never stern. It was always like, you know, take another look, you know, see if there's another way you can deal with this.
Yeah.
And he never told me what to do. When he used to annoy me, because I would say, what should I do about this, Daddy? He'd go like, I don't know. Now, what do you think you could do? Yeah. And which was really true, because he was not like at any age, he was my father. He wasn't my age. Mm-hmm. Any answer he came up with was probably way beyond my reach. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I wish that I could have been early on as good a parent as he was, but I learned this actually, you know, at a time when it was very helpful in my relationship with my daughter and remains to this day very helpful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a nice thing to realize that thoughts are transitory unless you think they're not. But for you to think they're not, you kind of have to see it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help to tell people thoughts are transitory. They don't mean that much, blah, 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 which I think we also have been guilty of doing sometimes.
Absolutely. You know,
I remember when I first learned this, people would always say, it's just a thought. Mm-hmm. And I go like, it's easy for you to say, you don't have that thought. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, it is just a thought, but just a thought looks really real to you until you change your mind. Mm-hmm. And the thought passes and some other thought comes to mind. And the way we change our minds is to really question, you know, do I need to think this? Can I quiet down? Maybe I should take another look. You know, maybe it's not a good time to make a decision. Maybe I'm not, you know, getting a bad feeling about this. I should leave it alone for a while. Those kinds of things.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. It's just, you know, if you start to see how separate realities work, you'll save the relationship with your children. You'll save the relationship with your spouse. You'll change, you'll save the relationship with just about everything. Not always, but you know, it's just that you just have to see that and then trust your wisdom of what you should do about it.
Yeah.
So with that.
Thanks again for being with us.
Aloha.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.